My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Guys, welcome to TFL Talking Trucks podcast. This is Andre, and with me
is Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan, for joining me once again for this wonderful podcast. And the topic for this show is the brand new 2022 Toyota Tundra.
Did they do enough?
Yes. So in this segment and on this episode, what we would like to discuss is everything we know. And now we know everything
and almost. We're permitted to tell you guys about
it. Yes. And it's all the embargoes are behind us. But we want to step back, right?
Right.
Because, you know, I was actually at the event in Texas. I was fortunate enough to represent TFL there with Toyota. And I was trying to learn on the fly, right? But now we had a few days, to think about it and analyze it and really kind of get to the bottom of this. Did Toyota do enough to just reset the bar and compete in this segment?
That is the whole point of this podcast. But what we want to do, and I'm going to give you the lowdown of what we're going to be doing, and then after that we're going to talk to you Patreons, is we're going to talk about design, the chassis, powertrains, interior, technology, price, and MPG. These are all things that I think you guys think, and Andre thinks you guys think, is the most important. And the reason we're starting with design is because that's the first thing you see, because let's face it, before anything else came out, you saw those leaked photos, and some of you guys had some interesting things to say. I cannot repeat them because we're sort of a family show. But
wow.
Anyway, during that, about midway through, we're going to talk about news. And Andre's got some great news. I don't know.
Truck news.
Yeah. Which is always great news, right?
Truck news.
So let's hit it. Before we start, though, do you want to talk about our Patreon?
Yeah, I want to thank a few people.
Absolutely.
As always, because as you guys know, the podcast and overall TFL Studios, you know, we exist because of you.
Yep, thank you guys.
Because you guys listen to us, you guys watch our videos, and some of you support us on patreon.com/TFLcar, which is our only kind of page on Patreon. And within the last couple of days, Anthony Gallo, Greg Van Mullen, and Michael Jones. Hey, I did it.
You did it, and you got them all right.
I think I got them all right. These guys supported us in a big way. And if you guys think, you know, a couple bucks a month here and there is not a big deal, nothing, it means a lot to us because it adds up.
It does add up. You, studio, everything you see here, a lot of that is sponsored by you guys. So thank you very much for your sponsorship. And thank you for those of you who are listening to us and watching us. We appreciate that as well.
Yeah, if you want total proof of this, if you're watching this, behind Nathan is a hood of a 1978 Lincoln Continental. And on that hood are many, many names of you guys who supported us.
Yeah, that was our first batch of fundraising to get to where we are now. And it really worked. So thank you guys again. Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's talk Tundra. Because,
okay. Yes. So before we actually start on those bullet points we were talking about, let's talk about the competition first.
Yes.
Just because you guys, for those of you who don't know where the Tundra fits, Andre's going to tell you.
Well, absolutely. So the best-selling vehicle in the U.S. is a pickup truck.
That's the Ford right.
F-150. F-Series, right. Mm-hmm. And F-Series, of course, includes anything from a work F-150, mm-hmm. right, just a basic work truck, all the way to very luxurious F-150s, and then also Super Duty trucks, which is their heavy-duty trucks, three-quarter tons and one-tons trucks. These are, you know, heavier trucks that can pull big loads and carry a lot of weight. So that's Ford, but there's five huge players here.
Yep.
GM with Chevy and GMC,
mm-hmm.
Same kind of layout as Ford, right? With light duty, full size, and heavy duty. And then, of course, there's Ram, once again, full size and heavy duty. And, of course, Nissan and Toyota are in this space.
That is correct. Nissan somewhat recently refreshed their Titan, but honestly, it was really just a refresh as opposed to building an all-new truck. General Motors, they are releasing some interesting stuff. We've covered that in prior podcasts and other videos that we've done. But in terms of all-new trucks for 2022 that are half-ton, Toyota's the one.
This is it.
Yeah.
So the F-150 is going to get small updates, like you said.
Last year it was heavily updated.
Right. The 2021 year was their Yeah, but they kept the chassis.
Same,
yeah,
the platform and most of the engines.
Some of the cab the same, right?
Right.
So they updated a lot of the truck.
Right.
In 2022, the new Raptor R is rumored to come.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a splash later on, mm-hmm. right? GM, like you said, updated their trucks.
Yes, they did. Yep.
GMC news is probably on the way soon.
I'm sure it's right around the corner.
And Ram, of course, is doing special packages. That's part of our news.
Yep.
That's not going to be an all-new truck or a heavily updated truck in 2022. So Toyota has had about 14 years to think about this because the last generation of the Tundra lasted about 14 years. And of course, as any manufacturer, they've been listening to customers, right?
Right.
Trying to figure out what's best and, you know, what to do in the future. And this is their answer. And Toyota is, globally, they're one of the top companies as far as sales.
They are one of the largest companies in the world. They are one of the more dominant companies in the world. And what's important to Toyota, they're one of the most consistent companies in the world.
And if you look at other segments like compact crossovers, mm-hmm. the RAV4, they dominate that segment.
Yeah, they're killing. Well, they're right there with Honda.
Well, yes.
But they have more to offer in terms of actual product, more of them to offer. So they also do a lot of platform sharing, and they work with other automakers as well. Some automakers don't do that very much. That's including an all-new Toyota Corolla Cross. I can't even pronounce it. I'm the one who...
You recently test drove it.
Yep, that's in Texas. And we even took it off-road. We have a little off-road video, sort of off-road. And that platform is shared with other Toyotas. And the thing about Toyota is that that's what they do. They have the TNGA platform name. And that goes for everything, including this new truck.
And they have sub-components of that.
Precisely.
Right.
Precisely. So before we get to all that, and before we talk about that, let's start with design.
Yes.
Because design is really what it's about. Once again, you guys saw the photos way, way early, and some of you were not too pleased, and some of you were.
Well, that's not an ideal way to reveal a truck. And we've seen that with other manufacturers before, right?
Right.
Where there's some sort of a spy image, either from a factory or maybe from a dealership
meeting.
There's
a leak.
Something happens, and usually it's warped. It's taking on the side somewhere, and it's poor lighting.
Or it's moving. It's like a UFO. It's fuzzy around the corners.
Yeah, so that's not a great way. So So we actually did a video about your comments as well, mm-hmm. and I think the appearance was one of the top topics.
That's right? Precisely. But if you think about it, that makes sense, because that's the thing you have to stare at in your garage or in your driveway or when you get to work and the other guys are coming out, and whether they're like, oh, dude, awesome truck, or I don't know about that.
So it's subjective.
It is,
you know,
indeed.
All of us, you know, you and I have our own opinions. You guys have our own opinions.
Yeah.
But one thing that Toyota actually said in one of their presentations, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, they wanted to show strength,
yeah.
right? As any pickup truck should.
Right.
And one of their inspirations was Iron Man, but they said it was the superhero Marvel character.
Right, not Iron Man Stewart.
Ivan, our yeah. buddy.
So it was a little confusing that they went that route. For one thing, Toyota doesn't really have a deal with Marvel that I'm aware of. But more importantly, that for years, their development has been, for pickup trucks, off-road ones especially, has sort of orbited around Ivan Iron Man Stewart. He is one of the winningest Baja champions out there. I mean, he's definitely, you know, way up there. And a lot of you guys have heard about him. And he's been with Toyota for years and years and years. And in fact, all of us have had a meeting with him or have driven with him.
Yes. So for example, when I believe the original TRD Pro lineup was introduced, this was back in 2015, 2016,
mm-hmm.
Roman had a chance
That's
to drive
right.
as a passenger with Ivan Man.
Ivan Man? I know. And you should be able to say Ivan with no problem, bro.
It's Ivan. That's the Russian pronunciation, Ivan. No. Ivan Iron Man Stewart. And then just a few months ago, I was in Texas mm-hmm. at the kind of an overall update Toyota event, and he took me around an off-road course in a Lexus LX.
Yeah, and I got to ride with him as well in between those times for a very brief time. And all three occasions, he was a gentleman.
Yes.
He was just totally laid back.
Down to earth.
And he still would push those vehicles.
And he is in his 70s, folks.
Right yeah, I mean, now. Same age as Roman, pretty much.
Oh, ouch.
Sorry. He's not,
No. But so, and that's their heritage, too, right?
Right. That's exactly my point.
But it represents durability, because mm-hmm. we're talking about endurance off-road racing.
Exactly.
And Iron Man Stewart was king of that.
Indeed.
Endurance driving and actually taking care of your truck, but also going fast. That was his specialty. And so that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? So no matter which way you look at this, Iron Man is a good image.
But it doesn't – I don't understand why the guy who was doing the presentation – maybe there's some sort of contractual thing. I don't know. But instead of going to the direction of saying, yeah, Iron Man, this dude who was the amazing off-road badass, you know, helped us, you know, figure out what we wanted to build with this truck. It's the Marvel character who, by the way, died. And sorry, spoilers.
Ooh.
You know, with a snap of his fingers, he's gone. I just don't quite get that. And I'm going to give you my subjective perspective on this truck in just a minute. But
okay.
you see where my point is with that too, right? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
So thankfully, and we have some, you know, images here on the video. If you're listening to us, thank you for joining us. And of course, you can see this on tfltruck.com or TFL Truck YouTube channels. Well, I want to hear your opinion. I saw the truck in the flesh.
Yeah.
And actually several of them, because they had approximately like six different trim levels and actually seven trucks to look at. And they're all a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, some of them have chrome grills, some do not. Some have painted lowers, some do not. So what is some of your perspective without seeing it in the flesh?
Okay. First of all, you will not mistake it for anything else. That's one thing for sure. Front ends of trucks have become very distinctive, and this is one of them. I'm not going to look at it and think, that looks like a Ford. The only truck it kind of reminds me of a little bit in terms of design is Chevrolet. Just a little bit with the squinty eyes.
And also a lot of people commented on the vertical little slits on the sides, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going with that. Have you guys seen, speaking of comic books and comic book heroes, the Batman movie where I think it's Batman Rises or whatever, where there's that character Bane who has the giant little grill on his face? That is what the front end of this looks like. As a matter of fact, I threw out a tweet a while ago, and it looks just like that. I think it looks kind of mean and menacing when it's on the TRD like this. The other images I've seen of it with the chrome and everything else and the less prominent wheels and all that, well, actually, less prominent tires, I should say. The wheels were huge. Mm-hmm. It didn't, I didn't think it looked very good. I'm not saying it's bad. I have not seen it in person, so I have to do that. And here is the most important thing that I think about design. Does it look good dirty? I don't care about a clean truck. I want to see a truck covered halfway in mud and muck. If it looks badass when it's covered, then you know it's a good truck. And the good news is a lot of trucks do look pretty damn good when they're dirty.
I have a comment on this because so I was there at this event, which mm-hmm. was a journalist event, not a public event.
Right.
And of course, the truck is actually displayed at Motorbella mm-hmm. in Detroit. So I think this show, this podcast is airing during this weekend where mm-hmm. you can go to Detroit M1 Concourse and see
actually a lot see it of in the person, trucks. Right?
So you can see it there. It's also going to be available to watch and walk around in person at the State Fair of Texas.
That is correct. So you guys will be there, right?
Well, not immediately.
Not immediately.
The State Fair of Texas, of course, is a multi-week event.
Right.
That goes, you know, just a celebration of the fall and everything else. So you guys, if you're in Texas, if you're in Michigan, you guys can see these trucks already.
Right.
They're going to be produced and on sale, Toyota says, this year. But there's a piece of news that's coming up related to this that we'll touch, which is kind of a big news, I think.
Okay. Let's get on to the next few things and then we'll get to the news.
Well, one more thing I wanted to mention about the appearance. You mentioned mud.
Yes.
So I was laying down on the stage underneath one of the trucks. Uh-huh. And this was the orange color
TRD
Pro.
Right.
And I was checking out the exhaust system that mm-hmm. was coming out on the driver's side, which was kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
Because usually it's coming out on the opposite side, right?
That is correct.
And I saw mud underneath it. You know how it's a show vehicle, right? It's a prototype.
Right.
It was an early pre-production unit. And but, of course, they couldn't get all the mud off of it because there's a little bit of mud underneath. So
that means
they showed it in pictures.
Uh-huh.
They showed it driving. So, of course, it was used already.
So it was a driver as opposed to just something that they roll out of a trailer and put on stage.
No. Yeah, it was not a queen.
That's kind of cool,
a trailer
actually.
Queen.
I do like that. I appreciate that fact.
Yeah, and the same thing happened to me when I was at the Silverado ZR2 event.
Mm-hmm.
The blue truck that
I remember
showed.
You freaked out about that one.
Yeah, we looked underneath and it was brown. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Oh, it's mud.
Yeah, and not rust, by the way.
So these trucks, a lot of them were being videoed and photographed in the real world. They're all driving.
Right.
These are pre-production trucks, so not production ready. But that was cool. That was cool to see that Toyota did that.
I agree. And one final note on the design of the truck. I don't mind the profile so much. I just think that they could have done something else. Maybe it's the headlights that I really don't like, along with the grille and the wheel arches, maybe. Anyway, let's move on to chassis because that's where things start to improve in my book.
Yeah, and also I had a wonderful opportunity, and Mike Swears, the chief engineer, was very gracious with his time.
Mike is a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
He's easy to talk to. Uh-huh. He's, once again, down to earth.
And he's extremely knowledgeable because he knows his product.
Well, heck yeah. And he's poured his whole, you know, professional career into this because he's been the chief truck designer at Toyota for 12 years.
Right.
And, of course, he has other experience before that. So he was very gracious. He talked me through a lot of the chassis changes. And this was very, very interesting because and I knew he was in – I knew he was in Japan for a while. I wasn't sure why or how long.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they sent about 42 people, 42 engineers from U.S. to Japan to kind of the headquarters, the global headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to consolidate all these truck platforms into one, which was, I imagine, a humongous task.
So you're saying Hilux and some of these overseas trucks, yes. All of them are going to be sharing a lot of the components on the frame, the platform?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
And that includes the new Land Cruiser, which we were speculating about just a couple months ago.
So Mike had to walk, of course, you know, this fine line about telling me about the Tundra
mm-hmm.
and the chassis changes without mentioning anything else.
Like the Tacoma.
Because, you know, I kept really wanting to ask him, tell me about the 4Runner, tell me about mm-hmm. the Sequoia, tell me about the Tacoma. Because the rumor is that all of them will be sharing the same platform. And you might be asking yourself, what? I mean, how can you make a giant Tundra into a small Tacoma? Well, this what this actually is you can manufacture it on a similar production line, which means it has the same attachment points as far as carrying it on the conveyor.
Yeah, the hard points for moving it from point A to point B are the same. And often they'll use a lot of the same frame components, which are probably going to be fully boxed, I would imagine, and all that. Did they go to a C-channel back component of the frame or anything like that? Because they did that on the Tacoma.
Right, so they completely moved away from that philosophy. So as you know, right now, the Tacoma and the Tundra have what they call a triple flex, I believe.
Yeah.
Triple frame design, which includes a fully boxed front,
yeah,
kind of a heavy reinforced C open frame like this, C channel in the middle, and then a kind of a open C in the back. And that's for flexing, right?
That's according to them, and a lot of you guys do not like their response to that. And I'm sort of neutral on it, especially after driving a lot of Tacomas and Tundras and knowing how tough they are. However, I can see the other side of it, which is other automakers are going to fully boxed frames that are much more robust.
Yeah, and so Toyota did also.
Yep.
So now it's a fully boxed frame, mm-hmm. fully redesigned, and you know, and they had the opportunity to actually shape it just the way they wanted it. So they made it a little bit wider in the rear, and he talked me all through this. So mm-hmm. if you want to actually get a little bit more detail, you could also listen or watch the previous podcast.
Right.
But they fully redesigned it. But they also had to, because of this, they had to fully redesign the suspension, right? Because Mike, what Mike wanted to get across is that when you make this chassis stiffer, the frame, you're gonna feel more energy or from bumps, right?
Because which makes total sense.
Yeah. So you have to redesign the suspension to accommodate for that, and they did. And
they went coil to springs,
coils in the rear. Yes.
Yeah. Now coil springs is the crazy part. One thing we figured out a little bit early, but honestly, not a lot of you guys were expecting. And honestly, considering how long Ram has been using coil springs and the fact that other people are moving towards that direction, you know, Jeep did it with their Wrangler, it is a robust suspension if it's done right. And it can also make it a lot easier to put in an air suspension, which is another thing that Toyota's playing with.
Yeah, they did actually optional air suspension in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this on some other trucks. Well, actually, Ram uses four-corner air suspension as well.
One of the things they have, they optional
yeah.
for.
Yeah, and I mean, Tundra has a lot of suspension choices. And I actually asked Mike about this too, because it seemed mind-boggling. So they have standard. First of all, every truck gets coils in the rear.
Yeah, front
it's
and rear.
Not, yeah. So it's not like one truck, you know, luxury truck does and the other one doesn't.
Right.
So all of them get that. Independent front, mm-hmm. solid rear axle, of course.
Of course.
With coils in the rear. And then they have TRD off-road packages is a package you can add to several trims. So it's not like a Tacoma where it's its own trim.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get an SR5 TRD off-road.
Right, and that gives you the beefed up suspension a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, and they're using Bilstein shocks for
okay.
that. So once again, specially tuned.
That's the first level then.
That's the first level.
Okay.
There's another level where it's for luxury.
Mm-hmm.
They're using adaptive variable suspension. So shocks that are adjusting their stiffness depending on driving conditions.
Okay.
And, you know, other manufacturers like Ford, GM, and others are using similar technologies.
Similar technology, yeah. yeah.
Not all done the same, but similar concept, right?
Yeah, got it.
Where it's adjusting dynamically. And it's not like, a Raptor or TRX shock. It's more of a, so it's not like you can have, you know, many, many different modes that control that. It's more done behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truck is kind of doing it for you.
Right, so you don't have to sit there and flip or hit buttons.
Yeah, but
or,
you could still do that. But it's more kind of a done behind the scenes
okay,
for you.
Okay, got it.
And then they have Fox 2.5-inch shocks on the TRD Pro.
With the reservoir, right?
Yes, with the remote reservoirs. And if that wasn't enough, they have a TRD Sport package. You've seen this before, right?
Yes,
we've seen this before on many Tacoma and Tundra trucks, which has a slight lowering. It's for the street, basically.
Right.
So it's lowered a little bit and has yet another tuning for shocks. So this is a lot of options, dude.
It is. The good news is for the consumer, they'll be able to dial in pretty much the truck they really want. Right off the bat, if you're wondering, and there's no reason to wonder, yes, of course, the TRD Pro is the one that we, TFL Truck, would be most interested in. And I have a feeling that that would be, you know, not their, necessarily their volume seller, but damn close to it. I bet you they're going to sell a ton of those. And the other ones will be, you know, 10% here, 15% there. But of course, it's probably going to be in their mid-level. Is it SE model? No.
They're limited. They call it limited.
Limited is now their is the middle.
Is it kind of the middle? Yeah.
Gets confusing because of
because
Ford
and Ram do something else. Yeah. Their limited models are very, very, very top.
Right. I wonder if that's going to tick off Ford and Ram.
I don't know why they chose why Toyota chose this, but it's also been. This is what they've done in the past too, So it's not brand new for 2022.
Okay.
So it's not they're not completely redesigning their playbook.
Okay,
you know, we don't have pricing yet, so it's hard to say exactly, you know, where these will land.
We can assume that they're going to be competitive.
Yes, absolutely competitive. And TRD Pro is one of their, they called it hero models, which means it's going to be very luxurious, very, very powerful. We're going to talk about power next.
Yep, we're going to talk about it next.
And also very capable, too. So it's not going to be cheap, right? It's not going to be at the middle
there's
of
no,
the road.
Yeah, it's going to be near the top, I would imagine.
So, and their other top model is the 1794, which Western themed luxury truck.
Like a King Ranch or, you know.
Like a Longhorn would be in the Ram.
Exactly.
So something like this. So let's go to power because this... This will...
Before we go,
I had
one question because I don't see it on our little list. We didn't talk about wheel and tire packages. I know there's at least four that I can think of. Obviously, the one that's used in the TRD Pro, which is different than the one that's available on the off-road package. And then there's probably a standard base model tire and wheel package. And I think maybe with the limited or the 1794, there's that really large wheel I saw, which was like a 20-inch wheel, I think.
Yeah, so I can only speak to what we saw.
Yeah.
And the full configurator is not online yet. So
I know.
As soon as it does, we're going to build one.
Oh, we're gonna, and that'll be on video.
Build many, on video with you guys. So the TRD Pro has a special forged wheel, and they're very proud of that because forging... makes that wheel stronger.
Stronger, and it can be a little bit lighter than...
And also it has an offset. So it's a little bit... It makes the track a little bit wider as well.
Yeah.
So it has a different type of offset compared to others. And those are 18s.
Okay.
So they also have potentially 19 and 20s. I saw 20s a lot. The 1794 had a 20.
Right.
The other TRD Sport package had an optional 20. And they're different styles. So some of them are blacked out, some of them are not, some of them have chrome. So there'll be plenty of options.
Right.
And tires, they went for Falcon Wild Peaks.
That's interesting. Falcon's really starting to get in there.
For the Pro.
For the Pro.
This is kind of their top. But they did a 33. So what do you think about this? So
they look small.
So, yeah, one of these white, the white truck that we're showing on camera is... is a TRD Pro with 33s.
Yeah. Aesthetically, I'm sure that they function really good. I know Toyota spends a lot of time developing these things, and they figured it out. I'm going to say that at the very least, I would have gone 35. And maybe it's because the wheel wells actually look even wider and larger because of the black trim.
Yes, totally. The flares are blacked out.
Yeah.
So the wheel opening looks larger.
That's exactly
my point. Exactly. Yeah. I'm totally with you. And you know what's going to happen? People will lift them.
Oh, God. Without it. Well, yeah.
And big tires. So
it's a truck.
Here's a piece of news that I did not mention during our initial debut. Toyota said, this is the information they officially released, that they're going to have a TRD, they call it a TRD suspension lift, optional, dealer installed. So if you buy one of these trucks, actually, it may work on multiple trims, not just the Pro.
Okay.
It's a 3-inch lift.
3-inch?
From a dealer with warranty. So I don't know a lot of more details about what shocks they're going to be using and what they're going to be doing.
Or spacers or whatever.
But they're thinking that way. You know, like everybody has accessories. Now,
sure.
You know, you can buy a Bronco with 150 accessories or whatever.
Well, TRD has always had... I mean, they used to have superchargers and all that.
Yeah.
I mean... The question, of course, and I'm dying to know, are they going to, because it's coil spring, it's not that it's not the same thing as lifting a truck that has leaf springs in the back where you put a block in there, yeah, or whatever in some cases. So I'm curious to how they're going to do it.
So it may not be very affordable. I'm not saying, we don't know the pricing
yet. We don't know.
But it may be well done, mm-hmm, you know, because, you know, when you're paying money, you know, it's going to be done right. So maybe it's going to be a different spring, which makes the ride more comfortable instead of adding a block and shortening your travel potentially. Right. You know, so we may see many different solutions for this.
This is going to be interesting. And the cool part is most likely we will be able to get our hands on one of those because Toyota tends to send us their top trim model, and they know we do off-roading, they know we do towing, so I have a feeling that they will be sending us one of those in the relatively near future. Should we move on to powertrains? Because that's the big news, too.
Yeah, so let's do it. Let's transition to that.
Okay. Powertrains.
Yeah.
Before we got started, before we really knew what was going on with Tundra, there were a lot of hints being dropped about what that powertrain was because they revealed overseas the Toyota Land Cruiser, and that Toyota Land Cruiser had a twin turbocharged V6, and we heard a lot of stuff about the transmission and 10 speeds and all that, but of course nothing was confirmed and we didn't honestly know. But then Toyota leaked some pictures, mm-hmm, and that was really interesting because one of the pictures showed some orange things in the background, and orange usually is indicative of hybrid wiring. It's for emergency stuff, you know, so you know where not to grab. And guess what? They have both the twin turbocharged V6 and the twin turbocharged V6 with a hybrid system. Sound familiar? You're damn right it does, because Ford basically did the same thing.
And it's the same, almost the same displacement.
Right.
3.5 liters is quote unquote the name. It's like 3,445 cubic centimeters.
I'll say 3.5.
So 3.5 liters. So apparently that displacement is probably most optimal, mm-hmm, for not just, you know, Ford, but other engine builders and designers. They're using very similar displacement. And this is the depth of the V8. So as far as we can tell, because they didn't hint at anything else. And this is the powertrains. And Mike talked about it with me, and I can mention that here. And also, they were very careful about how they described it because they wanted to convey, you know, the durability and reliability, which is what Tundra is known for.
They've been developing this for a long time.
A very similar engine kind of configuration is currently in the Lexus LS, mm-hmm, which is their flagship sedan.
That's correct.
So they used some of the learnings from that and what they know from this engine and developed the truck version of it because it has to have high torque, mm-hmm, lots of power, and 10-speed automatic, like you said, to deliver that and tow a lot.
Now let's talk about what they used to have. So they got rid of their 5.7 liter V8 and their 4.7 liter V8. I mean, those are gone.
Yes.
And also they were a 6-speed?
They were all 6-speeds.
They were all 6-speed transmissions. They were not the most efficient. Toyota back then, a year ago, was one of the least efficient out there in terms of truck makers. Even Nissan went to a 9-speed automatic transmission and had better efficiency. Now, Toyota is jumping up, and now they're with Ford, not only with technology, but with their transmissions, and we can only assume what their efficiency is going to be. However, it's logical to assume that the hybrid will be more efficient. The question is it on the same footing as the Ford hybrid? And you should know, because you got one.
Yeah, there's an issue. We don't know EPA estimates or Toyota estimates for efficiency. And that was later on the list, but let's talk about it now.
Yeah, we could just talk about
it. We don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know.
So Mike Swears, the chief engineer, hinted at some of this. Wow. He said towing maximum rating on this new Tundra, which is 12,000 pounds.
Which is impressive.
Which is impressive, but not class leading.
Nope.
He said you could drive 4 hours with that load before filling up. That's very cryptic.
So what does that mean? 75 miles per hour towing a heavy load?
He didn't mention the speed. He mentioned you could go from, he used Michigan terminology.
Okay.
You know, from Ann Arbor, anyway, drive 4 hours with a trailer. And so a lot of you helped me out with this in the comments, mm-hmm, in other videos. And you said, well, this could translate to about 7.5 or 8 mpg while towing. We don't know. exactly what he meant.
I think it's
by
a
that.
Really good guess, but we just don't know.
But that could be a decent number considering our history and what we've done with Ford F-150s.
Yeah, and considering what that weight is, he's talking maximum weight, I think.
And he's
right?
talking about a box trailer, basically dragging a big box behind you, loaded to 12,000 pounds.
Yeah, maximum load. So, there's a funny part to that, because I remember overhearing that, and I shook my head thinking, okay, there's got to be another translation. I don't know if you guys have driven around Ann Arbor, Michigan before, but the traffic can be so bad that 4 hours worth of driving is at 100 miles. You know,
so we don't know exactly.
We don't know.
The bottom line.
That's really cryptic.
He didn't say how many miles you can go,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. We do know the tank is 32 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
So they currently have a 38 in their current generation truck. They shrunk it down to 32. And obviously he explained it by saying, we're going to be more efficient. We don't need as much fuel. So hence we can actually save weight.
Yeah.
And blah, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as I would want a 38-gallon tank, believe me, that would be awesome. The other side of it is, those extra gallons translates to more weight in the truck, and they're trying to strip down weight, which reminds me, this truck is a lot lighter, potentially, than the former one.
Well, we don't know specifically yet,
yeah,
because all the specs are done. I can tell you what payload stickers I saw,
mm-hmm.
and we can talk about payload right now. Let's just move on there,
okay?
Because this is what pickups are about.
Well,
right?
We haven't said what the numbers of the powertrain are.
Okay, so yeah, the base motor,
please.
The base motor, which is a 3.5-liter twin turbo V6,
mm-hmm.
Has a 389 horsepower rating, and then 479 pound feet of torque rating at 2,400 RPM.
That's
very low RPM.
Really good.
Ford rates their engines at about 3,000 RPM max
right.
torque. This rating is at 2,400 RPM. I think I made a mistake in my previous videos about this because when I was talking to Mike, he mentioned regular fuel,
mm-hmm.
87 octane, the ratings. But then there was some documentation online that said this is for premium fuel.
Oh.
I'm sorry, we're still working out some of those miscommunications there.
So we don't know for sure if that's on premium or on
yeah,
regular.
Let's assume premium, okay, to be safe.
Okay.
So Ford gives their ratings of about 400 horsepower and 500 pound-feet of torque on premium fuel.
Mm-hmm.
This is 389. And 479, so it's not as high as what Ford is currently saying.
Right.
So, is it good or bad?
Well, it's a lot higher than it used to be.
It's higher than the V8.
Yeah.
It has way more torque than the old V8, which
yep.
was 401 pound feet of torque. And it comes in early because the V8 you would have to rev it up quite high.
Yeah, I think you were at 4,000 RPM and change in order to get
approximately. Yeah. So. You know, that's kind of the old school of doing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Revving that V8 and hearing it and getting the power out of it.
But this behaves a little bit closer to a diesel in that respect
yeah.
because you're going to a lower RPM to get your maximum torque.
Totally.
Yeah.
Diesel-like. And actually, a lot of your comments on previous shows we did said, where's the diesel? Come on, Toyota. And Mike addressed it briefly by saying that he's a diesel fan,
uh-huh.
which was, I think, a big nod to the enthusiasts.
I think there. I agree.
But he said it's too hard now to certify it. Takes about 3 years, according to Toyota, to certify a brand new engine, which they wanted to get it on sale. So they couldn't have a diesel this minute. I don't know if that means diesel is coming in a couple of years from now. They did not, obviously, like any manufacturer, they did not speak about future products.
Right.
But he said he was a diesel fan.
So the
anyway,
you could take that any way you want to take it. But there is another powertrain that puts out a very different numbers.
More. So hybrid,
mm-hmm.
right? And Ford has one available, which is their, once again, 3.5-liter hybrids in the F-150.
I think it's a tandem hybrid system to where you have the electric motor sandwiched in between the engine and the transmission, and it actually helps the transmission, if you want to think about it that way, in terms of moving the vehicle. And it also works as a start-stop system, I believe.
Yeah, and it can power certain accessories and drive in electric-only mode for very, very short distances.
Right.
So it's not a plug-in. The Ford is not a plug-in. The Tundra is not a plug-in. It's a full hybrid system.
Mm-hmm.
And Toyota has a similar architecture where the electric motor is sandwiched between the 10-speed and the engine.
Mm-hmm.
It can go on electricity alone. short distances or lower speeds, but then it helps the gas engine basically make power, which is 437 horsepower. Mm-hmm. Now it's more than what Ford is saying.
Right.
Ford is rated at 430, so Toyota just kind of one-upped them.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And they one-upped the torque as well. The Tundra torque is 583 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
583. We're approaching 600 pound-feet of torque in a hybrid.
Right. Now, if you guys want reference to what you would compare that to, I believe the TRX puts out 650 pound-feet of torque. So
it's approaching supercharged V8
it's
numbers.
It's getting to some seriously monstrous levels, which means, of course, you know, more capability when it comes to towing and off-the-line power, I would imagine. I am really curious about that powertrain.
So the question is, these are the only two choices.
That's it.
There's no other transmissions. There are no other engine options. And so can you imagine base truck? You will be able to buy a Tundra SR5 or SR. The SR truck the trim level is their lowest.
Okay.
With 389 horsepower. This, you know, non-hybrid engine. That's really good for a base truck. You know, Nissan offers V8 and everything.
Yeah,
right?
It's 5.6 on everything.
Yeah, Titan is offered, so it's similar kind of methodology here.
Yeah.
So you're getting really, really powerful engine no matter which truck you're buying.
Right. That means some of you guys are going to have a really good time if you're Toyota fans.
But is it enough? That's our theme, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Ford offers like 5 or 6 powertrains. GM offers 5 or 6 powertrains. Mm-hmm. Including diesels.
Actually, I think GM now offers more because they...
Yeah, Ford discontinued their light-duty diesel
right.
in the F-150. Ram offers, 2 or 3 powertrains if you look at e-torque systems.
Yeah.
They're mild hybrid systems. So do you think Toyota did enough here?
I guess they didn't answer the question of whether or not they pipe in noise, right?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm assuming they're not going to. I really hope they don't. In all honesty... The numbers look good. Toyota does not build a powertrain without testing it extensively, and they want to keep their public image on a good note, meaning reliability, capability. That's really important to them, right? Without driving the truck, I will say that these numbers are interesting. I will say that I'm assuming that this is going to be a lot more efficient than the previous truck. This is an assumption. And with all of that being said, on top of that, they obviously benchmarked Ford. Come on. You know they benchmarked Ford. And they may have beat Ford at their own game. With that being said, I say yes, they've done enough. Based on what I have on paper.
Right. We don't know.
We haven't driven it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm impressed that you can buy a base Tundra with this powertrain.
That's really cool.
So, you know, I'm assuming it's going to be competitively priced. So that's already good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did do enough there. Am I sad about the V8 being gone? Yes. But I think
it was the best.
To...
With the TRD package, that thing had, or exhaust package, that was one of the best sounding V8s out there. It sounded great.
But I think, I mean, this is the future, right?
Right.
Efficiency is very important because right now in Colorado, the fuels are near $4 a gallon. In California, they're near $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
So in the future, it may be more. So most of us will not be able to afford filling up these trucks.
Not to mention CAFE mandates for the future and what's required, electrification, and taking those, you know, the figures that we're looking at in terms of efficiency and dropping them and making them as, you know, not only as efficient as possible, but as green as possible. And hybridization is something that Toyota does really well.
And almost 500 pound-feet of torque or 600 pound-feet of torque in these cases, I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So no matter what, like, it's really fun. I own an F-150 hybrid. When you want to accelerate in that hybrid, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Am I getting the V8 noise? No. But it's just fun to be able to accelerate and pass cars.
And I think you're already past the whole thing of, oh, I missed the V8. You're just really happy with the truck. Quick question for you. Do they talk about rear ends?
No. And I didn't have enough time to discuss this. I'm assuming there's maybe two different options depending on the hybrid versus not.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
So I'm sorry, guys, I don't have that spec for you, and they haven't published a lot of specs about this yet. As soon as they do, we'll be on top of it.
Okay, so do you want to go to interior or do you want to talk about news first?
Can we finish with Payload really quick?
Yes, please.
And then go to news.
Okay, Payload. It's actually, Payload's not even on here.
I know. No, but this, it's an important point.
I agree.
We mentioned 12,000 pounds of max towing.
Right.
The hybrid is going to be rated at about 11,300, because of it's heavier. The hybrid system, because of the battery and other components.
Which happens with other trucks that have these types of, yeah.
Yeah, and then Payload is rated at 1,940, almost 2,000 pounds.
That's a maximum, though.
Maximum with a base engine mm-hmm. and two-wheel drive, all that stuff, and a smaller cab. Once again, not class-leading. Mm. So if you look at Ford and GM and Ram, those numbers are often above 2,000 pounds of payload. And in case of Ford, with their special suspension package, over 3,000 pounds on F-150. But I think this relates to how Toyota is looking at their customer base, right? So they're not looking at it specifically maybe as the true, you know, fleet truck for commercial.
Right.
They're looking at it as a lifestyle vehicle, right?
Which is exactly what they were saying. They kept throwing that at you guys as saying, this is a lifestyle vehicle. They designed it to be that way, that from the inside out. And when we do talk about interiors, it's pretty noticeable. I think, well, Andre and I, before we fired up the cameras, talked about what the full spectrum is. And if you look at Ford and General Motors and even Ram, they have a full complement of vehicles that are work trucks and heavy-duty trucks. And that really does fill up this huge void. And then from the very top, then they go into the lifestyle trucks, the ones that you're using with your family, the ones that you're, you know, camping in or overlanding.
And premium trucks.
Exactly,
and all that,
exactly, and premium trucks. So they cover all of it. Toyota, they don't have heavy duty trucks, and it doesn't look like they're going to introduce them, despite the rumors. I don't think that's going to happen. So they're introducing this truck as something that somebody wants to own as a commuter, as something they can have fun with, as something they can go off-road with and, you know, drive their families around in. And that is where their starting point is, I believe.
Yeah, and they're not offering a two-door regular cab, at least not yet, not at this time for 2022. So I think they're looking at it, like you said, as more of a family vehicle. It doesn't mean that you can't use it for work. Of course you can. But it's just not focused on that, right?
So what about the cab configurations then?
So there's kind of the Access double cab, which mm-hmm. is a four-door short cab, mm-hmm. and it's very similar to what Toyota has done in the past for their previous Tundra, and what some others do, like Chevy has a very similar configuration.
Right.
And then there's a full Crew Max, which is a full-size four-door
cab. That's the one that you saw.
All of the trucks we saw were Crew Max, full crew cab trucks. And then they have three different bed configurations, 5.5 foot. TRD Pro is only available with 5.5 foot bed.
That makes sense.
There's also a Crew Max 6.5 or 5.5 bed. Mm-hmm. So you can choose. And a lot of you guys said you guys want longer beds. Toyota is giving that to you. And then if you have a shorter cab, this double option, you can get an 8.1 foot bed, which is a true work size bed.
Yep, over 8 feet.
Yeah, but it's not a two-door cab. So those are your choices.
That's going to be an interesting looking truck. Did they show you any of those?
No.
That's going to be, I don't know if it'll look ungainly or not, but the ones that we're seeing all have the small beds, I believe. I don't think any of them, well, no, they none of them have the bigger beds.
Well, the 1794 had the longer bed option.
Oh, it did?
For example, some of these trucks, like the red truck I'm showing here with the trailer, had a 5.5 footer.
Those are 20-inch wheels, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see a lot of configurations yet, but we saw, you know, some of the more premium configurations.
Well, while we're talking about beds, can we talk, Will? I mean, this kind of goes from powertrains over back once again to this. Like your Ford truck, do they have an outlet, an inverter, any of that type of stuff for powering things?
There is an outlet in the
bed.
By the way, the beds are composite. They're not aluminum. They're not steel. They're a composite, their latest molded composite.
Which is like the second generation of what they're using on the Tacomas, right?
Exactly.
Those are really strong.
Very, very strong. Things bounce off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to puncture, hard to damage.
Right.
They don't rust. But it's a little slick. So some of the beds that they were showing, which were production kind of intent, you know, they were slick. You know, if you want to slide something, if you're walking, it may be a little bit slick on top of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's either a coating that provides more traction, or a rubber mat.
Yeah, I figured a rubber mat.
So they do have a 400 watt outlet. You can kind of see in some of these images. They do not have, and many people ask for this at the event, because Ford is now kind of resetting the bar with their 7.2 kilowatt inverter system.
Which I think is badass.
Yes, and could be very useful on many different occasions.
Could be. You know, it's a, you have it in yours.
I do, and I love it, but I don't use it every day.
You should be using it every day. Shave with it, whatever. Find a reason to use it. I would.
Yes.
Honey, I'm turning off the power in the house. Sorry to interrupt. And I'm going to fire up the truck and power the house just because I can.
Yes.
Or charge my daughter's electric car.
Exactly.
Yes.
All of that stuff.
I would do that.
Or go camping. Fire up a electric grill.
Which last time I checked, you camp way more often than I do, and you take your boat out.
Yes.
And okay. So
very useful.
It's very useful. Did Toyota do something like that?
No.
Okay.
And they were pretty hard about this. They said, we don't think a lot of our customers need this, and we are currently, you know, considering ways how to offer that capability at an affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not really get good answers on this.
No, that wasn't a good answer.
And also, 400 watts has been the standard for the last few years in a lot of these trucks. Decent. You know, you can run a small compressor. You can run...
You can charge your laptop
on
it.
Charge your laptop. You can charge several devices, right? You won't be able to run a coffee maker, for example. You won't be able to run some of the other bigger appliances. You could charge batteries, for example.
You could use a blender for margaritas? Maybe.
Doubtful.
Doubtful. You're hurting me here.
But things like their Sienna, they have the latest 1,500 watt systems.
Right.
Why didn't they put the Sienna system in here?
See, this is a... Remember how we started with the theme of this? Did they do enough?
Yes.
This is the one spot where I'm going to say, no, they didn't do enough. This should have had a similar... If they're going to benchmark Ford, why not put the similar type of inverter system? They already have the tech for it. I know I'm talking, you know, out of my butt, so to speak, because Toyota, I'm sure, has a huge plan that we're not seeing, and they have reasons for this that have, you know, they're behind the scenes. But in terms of a consumer, I would say, wait, that doesn't have something that I can, you know.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. I want to fire up a blender. Damn it! All right, all right. Okay. So thank you for you know, clarifying that. Let's. Do you want to go to news or interior, or do you want to keep going on this?
Let's hit the news really fast, and it has to do with Tundra too.
Yeah, this is all you. Go.
So we talked about the hybrid. Mm-hmm. We talked about the non-hybrid standard 3.5 liter. So there is a little bit of a timing news.
Okay.
So Toyota has said that the Tundra is going to be available this year, but that only is related to the non-hybrid. So if you're looking at the base motor, which is a twin-turbo V6, that should be available this year. They're targeting end of the year. So think about December-ish as far as getting maybe potentially the first customers getting these trucks.
I'm curious if they have the chips.
But, I'm also curious, but the hybrid is slated for the spring of 2022. So it's a little bit of a bummer because, you know, they spent a lot of time describing it and talking about it, and we'll be driving some of them. but I hope we'll be driving some of them.
We will, yeah.
But they're not going to be on sale until spring of 2022, which means... Think about like March, April, May, potentially, that time frame. So you know what's the biggest bummer of this?
Hmm.
The TRD Pro is only hybrid.
No kidding. Hmm. I did not know that. So, that is big news.
So the TRD Pro won't be available until next spring.
So they don't have the package on the regular powertrain?
Well, so the way they're positioning the TRD Pro, it's premium. Mm-hmm. Not just affordability, but also if you saw some of the interior pictures, and you can get it in either red or standard.
It's way
trim.
Better looking than their old interiors.
So yeah, and we'll talk about tech in a
yeah,
second.
Yeah, please.
But the part of this news is that TRD Pro won't be available until spring. So if you already ordered one or tried to put your deposits down with a dealer, you may not get your truck until spring. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's
a bit of a bummer.
It is a bummer. All right. More news.
So this has to do with State Fair of Texas.
Okay.
And also Ram. Because Ram has announced just this week that there is a new package available for the TRX for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it, did you hear this?
Yes, I did.
Ignition. Ignition. Yeah, so this is going to be a TRX Ignition Edition. Say that three times fast.
I can't.
Okay, TRX Ignition Edition.
Got it, okay.
So it's a special orange color. Mm-hmm. So they're expanding their color palette, basically. And everybody, a lot of you guys have asked for more colors.
Yeah.
You know, because traditionally, you know, the Hellcats, the Challengers, the Chargers, there's like, you know, plum crazy purple.
Right, and there's sublime.
Sublime greens, orange colors. Well, it looks like they're expanding this availability. And
this
I don't know if the orange is for me. Mm. I really like the TRX, our long-term TRX we have here in red.
It's good looking truck.
I think it's good looking. The orange is just, you could see it from space.
Yep.
Which could be good if you want to show off. But I don't know if I'm to that level.
I can guarantee you that there will be more extreme colors. It's going to look like a pack of Skittles soon. We're probably going to get a green very soon, a very bright one. And it's going to go along the same lines as the Hellcats, just like they're doing now. And they'll have other additions. This is what FCA, Ram, and I'm guessing Stellantis have or will be very good at, is waiting and stretching out that model as much as they can, and then eventually getting yet another special edition and maybe add a couple things to it. So maybe it's not just a color. Maybe there's a couple little goodies that are part of the truck that make it unique. And that is something that I believe a lot of you guys will be into. I would love to get a separate color. It's interesting. They used to do a thing with Ram, mm-hmm. With the Power Wagon.
Right.
I think 200 people ordered and requested the same color, they would be willing to make those 200 vehicles in that color.
Yeah, and these could be odd colors, like,
yeah, weird.
Like construction yellow.
It's not
or
green.
Yeah, something crazy. And they might continue this. And this new TRX is also a, let me get a picture of that actually here.
Yeah.
It also has a unique interior, and it also is fully optioned, almost fully optioned, with the group level 2 group, the new wheels and the new wheel design. It's got the sports bar, you know, this steel hoop in the back.
Yeah, it's got the graphics on the outside.
The graphics and special interior. It also has very special, they call it copperhead orange interior trim with carbon fiber woven with orange. So this is tripling down on orange.
Do you honestly think the carbon fiber is going to make it any lighter?
No, it might make it heavier. But you know, some of the trim is
the steering wheel, you could really tell.
Yeah, the steering wheel, it looks kind of interesting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So limited run, about 875 trucks will be made in this special package. They started around $92,000, give and take destination charges.
Uh-huh.
So this is not... and a cheap version of the TRX.
That there's ever going to be a cheap
no,
version.
No, they start at 72. Many dealers are marking them up.
Doubling them.
Sometimes doubling prices.
Yep.
And so this is, you know, this is from Ram, you know, 92,000. And then there's a little bit more. There's also South Fork Edition, which is their premium Longhorn, kind of a Western theme. Kind of a next iteration of their luxury interior.
That
and
is a really good looking interior,
dude.
I gotta say,
dude,
the way they're using the various colors, the browns mixed in with the metal trim. It's not a crazy amount of wood, and there's very little plastic. I like it.
And there's also the Ram Red Edition, which is basically, of course, Stellantis and Ram, Jeep, and Fiat have been submitting, or they promised at least $4 million to the Global Fund
mm-hmm.
to fight against HIV, TB, and malaria, and other diseases.
Right.
So they're doing a special trim of the Ram 1500 with red badging, and it's a limited truck. It's kind of blacked out, and it will start at around almost 65,000.
Yeah. Interesting truck. And a really good cause. So if you guys really want to wear it on your sleeve that you're donating to something that is, you know, important worldwide, I guess that would be your truck.
And it's kind of a way to communicate that and spread the message, right?
Exactly.
So that's, I'm welcoming actually this red edition too.
Oh, I think that this could be the start of a lot of interesting additions that actually do benefit various charities. I like it. I like the idea.
So that's a little bit of news from State Fair of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And so let's move on to more Tundra stuff.
Yes. Okay. Going back to Tundra, you guys have been seeing this picture, if you're watching, of the interior. Now, the interior, just like the rest of the truck, is all new. And they went for Once again, a very kind of macho, manly, blocky interior, but I think that they managed to actually pull it off this time, as opposed to last time. I always thought it was kind of cheap looking. One of my favorite parts of this entire interior has to do with what's sitting in between the driver and the passenger.
What's that? The shifter?
Yeah, that's a proper gear lever that
is. Oh, yes.
It's beefy.
So there are no knobs, no buttons.
No knobs, no buttons. Yeah, yes. You just pull it, grab that shifter and put it into gear. Yeah, there's no manual option. It's a 10-speed. But at least you have this. I like it a lot. And the biggest part of this is something interesting because Andre and I have both kind of dealt with this, and that's their infotainment system. It's a huge bit of news.
Yeah, it's a huge leap forward. It's mm-hmm. their basically in-house, their subsidiary Connected Services company in Texas actually developed a software that's behind the new infotainment system.
Right.
And a lot of the trucks, actually all the trucks I saw had the 14-inch display, which is their humongous.
That is now class-leading.
Yeah, at this time. The Lightning that's coming next year may have a bigger 15.5-inch screen.
Until it comes out.
But right now it's class-leading.
And there's also, I believe, a 9.8-inch infotainment screen that is available on other trim levels. And what's interesting about this, before we go any further, is that I got a chance to see its brother screen on a Lexus NX, the new one for 2022.
Yeah, you just drove it, right?
I just drove it. I was at the event, and I got to play with the screen. And it's slightly different. They actually did make it a Lexus-only screen by adding hard knobs on the screen itself for heating and air conditioning temperature readout. And they also have, in between those two knobs, they would have a volume knob. Yes, knobs.
Which, on the digital screen.
Just below the digital screen.
Okay.
So the volume knob was actually separate. But it's very different in terms of its layout versus what you see here on the Toyota Tundra. And Andre will describe that for those of you who are listening.
Yes. So first of all, I only experienced the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So all the trucks that had available for us to look at had the big screen. It's designed in a way where it's in the center and it's jutting out a little bit up above.
Right.
Right? So there's the part of the screen that's above the dash. It actually did not obscure my vision. So when I was in the driver's seat, I could look over the dash and the screen was not in my view
mm-hmm.
As far as the top of the screen.
Although Andre is taller than most humans.
I'm sorry. Yes. So it did not obscure my view. A lot of you made comments that it's kind of just a square attached to the dash. But in person, I wasn't bothered by it.
Yeah, they actually did design the cockpit around that dash, as opposed to some others who kind of make it look like they put it in with an afterthought. Slap a pad
so
up
it does
there.
Not appear to be like an iPad was slapped in the middle of it. It was more integrated.
It sits lower than I think you guys realize.
So, but they did something unique to Lexus. Obviously, they want to use the same software and the back end.
Yeah, a lot of the operating system is pretty much the same.
And also the servers, because it's also connected systems, right?
Right. It's all on the cloud, and they can do over-air updates and all that high-tech stuff. So that makes it a lot easier for both systems.
Yeah, and then they separated the HVAC control. So the climate control system on the Tundra is actually a separate row of buttons right below the screen,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was very, very clever because you basically... It's truck stuff, right?
Right.
Sometimes you wear gloves. Sometimes you're jumping in and out of the truck.
Exactly.
You want something easy to hit, up and down, temperature control, fan control. So I was welcoming that too.
Yeah, it looks like a fairly simple setup to use. Now, that infotainment screen does an awful lot. We're not going to get into the weeds about it, but I will say that Toyota and Lexus went from having the least capable infotainment systems, and they have leaped over the competition, not all of the competition, but a lot of the competition, not only in terms of the graphics, the display, and the usability of it, but the ease of use. They are voice activated, and I think they call it casual voice activation or something.
Yeah, just natural speech.
You can
ask a question like, what's the weather like in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
And the truck will actually answer.
Relatively quickly, there's a minor lag, but it's around the same speed as your phone. And remember, everything is cloud generated. So, sometimes, if you're looking for navigation, you could quickly ask, it'll do it. I decided when I jumped into the model that they had on display, which was in the middle of Phoenix, Arizona, I said, take me to Disneyland. And it took just a few seconds. It popped up all the options for Disneyland. And I could have just simply selected one and been on my way. So
you should have. Yeah.
I know, seriously. Yeah, Phoenix was really, really hot.
Okay.
But the point is that's a very easy-to-use system. And considering, you know, and this is Lexus, mind you, but I'm pretty sure it will work almost exactly the same way in Toyota.
I think they did enough.
I agree with that.
As far as staying competitive, maybe even resetting the bar a little bit in this area, mm-hmm. I think as far as technology and interaction with the truck, I think they did more than enough to stay competitive, because this also includes a lot of the gauges that we love seeing.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, integrated brake controller is there. So
is that standard? Do you know?
Or well, with a towing package.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So if you get the hitch and the towing...
Well, you remember in the past with older Tundras.
Right. It wasn't available until recent years.
Yeah, that was a real issue. So what about the center IP?
The gauge cluster, you mean?
Yep.
So there's two options. There's a digital one, which mm-hmm. is a screen. I think it's about 12.3 uh-huh. In diagonal. Or there's analog gauges, which is old school. You know, mm-hmm. why change things
if you don't
have to? So there's options for that. Many, many gauges. What I really liked also on the hybrid, there's also a battery status, battery charge level indicator. So you can tell is the battery fully charged as I'm driving? Is it half? Is it lower?
Do you know how big the battery is on that?
Yes. It's 1.87 kilowatt hours.
Okay.
So it's a little bit bigger capacity than the Ford's 1.5 kilowatt hour. But it's a different chemistry. Toyota went with nickel metal hydride.
Old school.
Old school. They called it tried and true, which mm-hmm. is true.
Yeah, that's true. And also very rugged. They can take a hit.
And also... Ford, of course, is lithium ion mm-hmm. Battery in the F-150. But, and this is a big but, switching gears to the battery really quick.
Please.
The battery takes the entire under the seat rear compartment. You know how you open, you fold the seats up.
Yeah,
in the
you're
rear.
Talking about the back seat where there's a cargo space usually.
Yeah, and in the F-150 hybrid, there's a giant, storage box in there you can use for your items, your,
right.
Emergency equipment, etc. Well, this battery takes the entire compartment.
Oh.
So you don't have any storage there, potentially.
That's a boo-boo.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with the technology they chose. Mm-hmm. I think that nickel metal hydride, maybe it's not as dense, so it has to be larger.
It does have to be larger. As if you guys are into remote control cars, this is a really good, simple way of looking at it. To get equal power out of nickel metal hydride versus lithium ion, usually the lithium is much lighter and smaller, more compact, as opposed to the nickel metal hydride. But in my experience, I've seen those batteries being sawed in half and not catching fire, as opposed to lithium ion having some issues, as we've seen in some electric cars, just in some cases. Not to scare you about your truck.
No.
But that means the packaging is different. That makes sense. So they needed a larger compartment, possibly, to store these things.
And in the F-150 hybrid, the battery is packaged actually within the chassis, within the frames, mm-hmm. Near the fuel tank. Coincidentally.
Okay.
No big deal.
No, it's fine.
No big deal. But the Ford's interior is fully usable.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And in the Tundra, it's not. So
they kind of failed that one because they, honestly, that's one thing people want is more cargo capacity.
And also potentially out of the way storage uh-huh. and lockable potentially.
Exactly.
So if you're storing, valuables in your backpack or something hidden out of view, you could do that, but not in a hybrid Tundra.
That's a real bummer. Okay, what about the rest of the cargo and the design of the interior?
Awesome, I would say. All so right. The center console is large. It has different cubby holes.
Uh-huh.
It has hidden Easter eggs, inside of it.
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs, blah, blah, blah. We did a special story about this already on TFL Truck. Cup holders are big. Wireless charging is available. Wireless CarPlay, Android Auto is available because we mentioned infotainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this way, ergonomically, they did a great job. The seats feel good. When I got into...
They look big.
Big, wide, and also supportive.
So the whole large American booty.
Well, I'm not going to vouch for that until you sit in it.
Thank you.
Come on,
you know me well enough.
No, I know. I think you would enjoy driving this truck.
Okay.
I think if you get in this... You would feel comfortable and also good visibility out front. So I think they did more than enough as far as ergonomically and design-wise on the inside. And I'm showing the red interior. I apologize. We don't have to look at the red interior if you don't want to.
Yeah, do you have another interior to look at real quick? One thing that I noticed, really the only thing I don't like about the interior, see, it's different. So in the TRD Pro,
yes,
it had Toyota embossed above the glove compartment.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
No.
I mean, do you have to be reminded where your payments are going? So this one, which looks like it's on the high level.
So this one is actually maybe not a high level. So we're showing a different interior in case
sure?
you're
that
curious.
That looks pretty snazzy.
I know, but dude, but they do good quality materials across their trims. If this was a 1794, that area in front of the passenger in the front would be wooden and would have a little imprint of 1794.
Okay.
By the way, that's the year of the ranch that was established where the current factory in Texas is.
Right.
So in case you were curious where 1794.
There's historical stuff there.
Historical there. If it was a platinum, it would have little platinum letters. If it was something else, it may have something else. So this could be either a limited or an SR5. Don't quote me on this.
Wow.
But still big screen.
Yeah.
Still nice seats. This one's a little gray.
It is a little gray, and also the center armrest isn't there like the other one. It looks like it has storage on top and some cup holders, and then the armrests on the sides, which look like they might move or something.
Well, the design of the center console is kind of the same across all trims, just different materials. So
really?
Some may
that's a totally different center console than the TRD just showed me.
Maybe the top portion is
different. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the top portion was covered in the TRD and it's open here.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's,
but overall, they don't open differently. They open in the same way, except they sometimes have different covers or materials.
Okay, fair enough.
So I hope I'm describing that correctly. I mean, clearly enough. So I think the interior is where they did, really well. Although the Toyota script has to go.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's just ridiculous. The mirrors don't look very big.
They did not show us towing mirrors.
Both trucks had the same mirrors that I'm looking at now.
Exactly, which is kind of a normal standard mirror.
Right.
It looks like any pickup truck mirror. In the prototypes we captured testing in the wild, we've seen extendable towing mirrors.
Yeah, that's right.
But they didn't
that.
Show them. So maybe those are not production ready, or maybe there's something else happening there. So we didn't see that. But I think, interior is good.
Personally, I like the interior. I like the most of it. Kind of a big no-no on losing all the space underneath the rear passengers for the hybrid. And I'm not a huge fan of the embossed Toyota logo right in front of your face inside the vehicle when you're on the off-roader. I don't like that. Oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
I wonder if you can remove that Toyota script if you don't like it.
Use stickers and put them over.
Well, use like floss and like take those letters off.
I think those things are actually shoved into it, and so they're stamped into the dash. That's what it looked like.
I'll have to ask Toyota.
How do we get rid of the logo that you have in front of everybody?
That was not going to be a good question.
That's not going to be a good question at all. Now, let's move on. We kind of covered technology in that, too. Is there anything else you want to cover?
I think technology, like you said, is easy to use. There's voice activation for a lot of the features.
Right.
And it's also not very deep, so there are not many menus you have to go through. Everything is kind of easily accessible, so that's top. And then I just wanted to mention the tailgate, because we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, Andre
has
tailgates.
And it has a very unique feature. So, first of all, Toyota chose not to fight the tailgate war. So the tailgate opens one way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a fancy fold-out.
There's
no barn doors. It's a regular tailgate that opens one way in its traditional fashion. But they have this button, this little, looks like a little button on the driver's side inside the tail lamp housing.
Yeah, what is it?
And it's a little button. If you hit it with your finger or your elbow, you could elbow it, and it's a latch for the tailgate, and the tailgate opens.
So is it servo-assisted where the tailgate is automated and can go up and down on its own?
It doesn't have to be servo-assisted. It just unlatches the latch, and it's damped.
That's an interesting idea. So that's a pressure plate I'm looking at then.
kind of a little latch, I would call it. You can actually push it physically.
Okay, so, and it's just that opening right there.
Yeah, right there.
It's not the whole piece of plastic I'm looking at.
Right. It's a little button.
Okay.
Think of it as a button.
Yeah.
So instead of reaching in and opening the tailgate in the standard way,
you can just kind of slap that thing and boom.
Slap it with your elbow, and they said, you know, let's say you're carrying a cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to throw it in, but your hands are busy. You can just kind of slap it with your elbow.
Well, that sure as hell is better than waving your foot under a camera. I got to tell you, those things never work right for me. So I'm curious to see how well this works.
Yeah, I want you to try it as soon as we can get here. So that's like, you know, that one little feature that's really useful and nobody else has.
Okay, so that's their tailgate war.
That's their tailgate war thing.
Shooting shots back.
So shots fired. But so maybe we should finish up by trying to summarize.
Which is, well, we still have Price and MPG, but we can't really mention
those. So we don't know either one of them. We think it's going to be competitive, but we don't know exactly.
But what does competitive mean? It means the entry-level price of a Ford F-150. Let's just say the F-150 base price is roughly around 27-ish.
But now you have to remember that's a two-door cab.
Right, that's a two-door, and that's with their base engine.
Exactly, which is not turbocharged.
Right.
Then if you look at GM, it's a similar story, right? Mm-hmm. Similar price, similar two-door cab. So now we have to let's look, actually. So since the F-150, let's go to Chevy.com, mm-hmm. Chevrolet.com, and let's look at Silverado 1500. Which is their bestseller, you know, and if you combine it with GMC, mm-hmm. it's pretty much a top seller.
Yeah, top seller. So while he's doing that, keep in mind that recently we popped news that Chevrolet has a new 2.7 liter four-cylinder engine that's turbocharged that goes into their full-size trucks. We've driven it before. We've used it before. However, they've updated it big time, and it now puts out 420 foot-pounds of torque. Now, when you think about that compared to, a Hemi, it actually puts out more torque than the Hemi. And this is a four-cylinder engine, which is really impressive, and I hope it's as good as I think it is.
So now we would have to look at the double cab Chevrolet, which is their shorter cab, still four doors, with a standard bed, which is exactly pretty much the configuration that Toyota will offer.
Right.
Right, so this is a smaller cab, and if I go here and I remove four-wheel drive, I'm not sure why it always makes me choose four-wheel drive.
Because they want you to spend more money.
Okay, and then if I choose a 2.7 liter engine, which is one of their base engines for this, currently the Silverado 1500 price right here.
I can't read that from here.
So
old eyes.
You don't have to. So about 37,000 before discounts, and then they add on the discounts. So about 37. So this is two-wheel drive, base turbocharged engine, base trim truck.
So it's
that's the
ballpark.
That's the ballpark where Toyota has to hit with their twin turbo V6, which is a much bigger engine.
Much more powerful.
More powerful engine.
Right.
And et cetera, et cetera. So if they hit that mark, you know, 35,000 to 37,000, and I think the Ford is in this neighborhood as well.
Right.
Then it'll be competitively priced. But here's the question. Is that enough? Should they undercut them?
Yes, I think they should absolutely undercut them. You're introducing new tech to your fans, and you want return buyers, but you also want to do conquest sales. You want to grab people who are Ram, Ford, and GM fans, and you want to bring them over to Toyota. How do you do it? Well, you introduce a very inexpensive twin-turbocharged V6. You throw in all the stuff that you've put out there in the media about Toyota reliability and capability, and you try to drag these people to your vehicle based on the fact that you're undercutting everybody by 5% or whatever. If you're able to do that, you will get some new customers, especially in today's environment where, you know, prices are just astronomical. And if they can keep the prices, especially with the packages, reasonable right now, man, that would be beautiful for a lot of buyers. Now, currently, by the way, the old Tundra, it's quite a deal. It's one of the least expensive trucks if you add packages to it. They're pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, like the current TRD Pro is in the 50s.
Right.
$50,000 to $55,000.
And that's for a TRD Pro with a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah, with a lot of options.
Right.
If you're looking at like Oh my gosh, a Raptor, a TRX, forget about it. Oh. But like even a Trail Boss with a V8 could be more expensive.
Exactly.
Right? So Toyota has always been kind of in this more affordable space.
So the question is, are they going to maintain that? I think they will. And if they do, then yes, they've done enough. If they think, people are going to come to us anyway, we can go 10% over Ford, then I think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. Because right now what they want to do is they want to make the Tundra their value leader, and also they want to bring in more sales, because sales-wise, they're way under Ram, Ford, and GM, way under. And, you know, granted, they're above Nissan, but that's it. So they really need to push this truck, and I think that's the way to do it.
So just to finalize this episode, and thank you as always for listening to us.
We appreciate it.
And watching.
Yeah.
I hope you find this interesting, because we have, you know, a lot of little tidbits that we can share, of course, first hands-on experience.
Exactly.
I would say, did it do enough? Okay, this is a tough one. I think they've definitely caught up.
Oh, yeah.
To the latest tech that everybody else has. Did they do something groundbreaking, shattering? I would say no.
No.
I don't think they did something shattering where it's, you know, reset your mind. You know, did they electrify it? Did they build it out of aluminum? No. The hood and the front doors are aluminum, but they did not, you know, decrease the weight of the truck tremendously.
Right.
They did not use carbon fiber everywhere.
Right.
The powertrains are pretty good on paper.
Yeah, right? They look impressive.
Very, very impressive. So I think they did enough to keep up where they currently need to be. And if the pricing is right, like you said, then they could have a success on their hands.
That's where I think they would be successful.
But I do not think that they did, like I said, something groundbreaking, completely world beater, quote unquote. I would just say this is a nice competitive truck.
I agree with you on just about everything. My biggest issue, and I know it's, you know, and not very deep, I just don't think it looks right. I think that their design at Kalty let everybody down. I think that that truck, from the profile, looks decent. From the front, it doesn't. Andre, you're the best looking thing on that screen that I'm looking at right now, my friend.
Oh, wow.
It looks okay from the tail. I know they want to be different. I know they still have that Toyota look that they're trying to maintain, but there's so many other things they could have done. So that's a big disappointment. The powertrain, the platform, the interior are all excellent in my mind on paper. So I think they did just enough to maintain being the competitive, but they didn't do enough to really wow us. I'm not in the dirt with this. They didn't knock me out. So that's kind of the issue. So I agree with you basically on what you're saying. But my overall verdict is yes, they did enough, but barely.
I think the ultimate answer will come about a year from now.
Oh, hell yeah, when we drive them.
Well, not just when we drive them, but when we look at the sales numbers from now.
Mm-hmm.
If they maintain their sales volumes, it's a decent success,
yep.
Right? But I think the success will be measured. Did they increase? Did they increase market share, right? Did they take away other owners, you know, other customers from other brands?
The conquest sales are going to be the biggest thing.
That'll be the ultimate test. And, of course, we'll tell you in about a year.
So we want to know what your perspective is, guys. Please let us know below what you think of the truck. Did they do enough? And why? You know, yeah, you could say, oh, it's really ugly or it's really pretty. But we want to know what you really think. So, you know, go into the weeds with it. We will be reading some of your comments. And maybe we'll comment on those comments in the later comments.
Thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll see you next time for all the latest truck news and truck reviews right here.
That's right. See you later.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.